Well, this morning, I quickly read up the passage and come up with a few thoughts that I believe how the Word spoke to me this morning. I have no idea what John was prepared for to share with you. He actually asked me to prepare this picture on the pew sheet of a tug of war. But then maybe I will give him opportunity another time to share whatever he has prepared for us. Some months or even last year, if you have been keeping news around the world, you would have heard of a lot of upheaval and protest that happened in Hong Kong. And that has been going on for a good a year or even 2 years of all kinds of protests and so on. And I still have some friends who live in Hong Kong, and I've heard from them that whatever they were protesting, it eventually split many parts of the society in Hong Kong, and families as well. So there were people within one family who were pro the protesters, and they agreed with what they were fighting for. And there were members of the family who are against the protester and say, no, that's not what you should do. Even in churches, there were pastors and there were congregation members who would sit on one side of the camp or the other side of the camp. There were great divisions, cut across family lines, cut across church lines, and many fabric of the society. As I read this passage today, I say, what am I going to share with all of you today? Yes, it is about divisions. It is about conflicts somehow. It is about one group maybe against another group or one person against another. Especially if we are looking at the world, if affairs today will see many divisions. Whether you are pro-Israel or Palestinian, whether you are pro-Ukraine or Russian, and even in New Zealand, there are many divisions about situation and the latest affairs. Particularly whether in politics, whether you agree that the government, there is bully in there, or whether it is to do with this particular MP, and whether he should stay or he should go. Divisions are inevitable. And we found that in churches as well. But I believe that this particular passage from Luke today, you can take many different interpretations and what kind of particular theme that may be important to share. I'm just going to share a few points as I read through it this morning. Not so much about what Jesus is trying to predict and division and so on, but rather just taking the passage as it is. Well, this particular section can be looked at as having three different parts, if you may recall. First part is a quick summary of what Jesus has been doing on earth and his eventual end of the ministry, that in other words, he's going to be crucified and die on the cross. And it's about the fire that brings to cleanse people and judgment and to spread the good news. And talk about his baptism as well, his baptism of fire. Not so much his baptism at the Jordan River, but his baptism that he's about to face when he will be crucified on the cross. There is a baptism of fire for Jesus, as he mentions in this passage. And it's that baptism will conquer death and bring salvation and saving grace to the world and to us today. The second part we can talk about it is a discussion about the effect of the gospel and how it may affect the people who follow him. I will bring up more details as I go through. And finally, the last part, it is about the warning from Jesus about those who are willing to listen to Jesus' word and to see what God wants to happen in their lives, or do we choose to only listen to ourselves and only do what we want for ourselves? So let's go through these three sections separately. It has the language of fire. It has the language of judgment for sure. But that particular judgment, more importantly, I feel, is about the judgment of ourselves, whether we subscribe to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, or we think that we can save ourselves. Fire meant to destroy. It meant to clean. And therefore, I believe that one of the metaphor and one of the reason it is saying so here is to remind us that the fire needs to destroy those that are holding us back. Those that are building walls among people. And maybe even the religiosity that we are practicing and we're holding dear to in our lives, all these need to be broken down and burned up, because they cannot save any of us. But rather, it is through the blood of Jesus. By doing those things and practicing religiosity and all that sort of thing cannot save us. But rather, it is through the death and resurrection and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that save us. Jesus came to burn down those walls. And that's why he's making himself reference. He came not to bring peace, but to bring division. It is those division that are causing people to build walls and separate from one another and even separated from God. So what is that baptism that you and I have been and is and maybe still will be facing? Baptism can be looked upon as a joyous occasion. When we see someone baptized, and it is indeed a joyous occasion. But it is not just about joy. It is about what you are committing to when you baptize into the faith and into Jesus Christ. And what comes with it as a cost of discipleship. And therefore, what are you committing to that quite often we forget? We only pick up the joy part. We pick up the celebration part. But we also need to understand that when we are baptized, we become the sons and daughters of God. And we become a disciple. And when we follow Jesus, there is a cost in following Jesus. And therefore, while there's joy, but there's also cost and price that we have to pay for as follower of Jesus. So when we baptize, we are baptized together into the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And that if we are to be Christ followers, we need to be more like Christ. So our calling may be varied and numerous. But it does not end the day we baptize. Some of us may be baptized when we were a little one. Some of us were baptized when we were adult. But we all know that the faith journey does not stop at baptism. Just as Christ talking about his baptism of fire, that he knows exactly what will come soon. and face that terrible, terrible death on the cross. When we baptize, when we commit ourselves to Jesus, we put to death those things. And we are alive in Jesus. But we still have a long way to walk until we leave this world. And that baptism just marked the beginning. And we have a life journey of refined by fire, of a baptism of fire, of continual following and walking with Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are being refined every day. So therefore, while we celebrate the joy and the baptism of grace, we need to also understand that there will be pain and suffering for us. The second one it talks about is that we live in a broken world and a divided world. As I mentioned about Hong Kong situation, as I even during the COVID time, there are families split up because there are those who are pro-vaccination and those who are anti-vaccination. And we see this kind of division in many, many situations, in families and churches, where churches split, they have to somehow work out how to deal with this kind of division. Divisions are real. And we need to deal with it in the best possible way. And the gospel too. Just as in those days when Jesus came, when he preached the good news, people were against him. People tried to seize him and killed him and stoned him. And we see many martyrs and Christians face that fate. Today, we are blessed in New Zealand that there is a lot of freedom, but they're also constrained for us as well. But in other countries, you can't even worship together. And it could be a death sentence if you worship as a Christian. Recently, we have a group of families that we met up. They tell us, for example, in India, they have this identity card. And if you are labeled as a Christian, what happened? In everything, you'll be end of the queue. Just by having that label as a Christian. There are divisions. There are situations that we may not have to face in this country, but others are facing every day. And that really, really tests their faith. Tests their resolve to stand up for the gospel, for what the gospel may mean to them. And so what does the gospel mean for us? What does it challenge us to do when we have to speak out for the truth, for the gospel? Especially in today's world, truth, it seems to be a scarcity. Everybody seems to come up with their fabrication or whatever, untruth and so on, and they get away with it. How do we speak the truth? How do we speak the truth of God? How do we speak the truth that the gospel is challenging us to say? Maybe in our own naive expectation that we imagine that the world is all hunky-dory and everything is nice and good and proper. Maybe we have that view, I don't know. But the reality often is very different. We live in a world that's filled with division and challenges. People, there's always the them and us. The poor and the rich. There's always divide. Perhaps Jesus is trying to point out to us out of this passage that what the gospel is really all about. If we really hold true to the faith of God, that we may find divisions. We may find people who are against us because of what we stand for about the truth about God. And how willing are we to stand up for those truths? That, I believe, is one of the challenges present to us out of this passage. And the final part is quite challenging. That essentially is speaking to us that don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Maybe Jesus is trying to speak to us and say, don't be a hypocrite to rely on our own steam and do whatever we think for ourselves, because it won't work and it doesn't work. The truth of the matter is that we need to rely on God. So hypocrisy sometimes is what I call blindness. We are blinded by certain perspective and certain view that cause us to think otherwise. And I believe that what Jesus maybe is speaking to us today is that we get away from being blinded by hypocrisy, by the naive thinking, blinded by the world's expectation or the way we have been thinking, but rather hold back to the truth of what Christ may be saying to us. Another word for hypocrisy is not necessarily being nasty and so on, but having a bad vision. A bad vision. And I believe that out of this, God or Jesus is trying to say to us that we need to see things for what it is. We need to remove all those stuff that are distracting us, causing us that blindness, so that we may have that hypocrisy. How do we see people inside the church? How do we see people outside the church? How do we see others? Do we see it with God's sight and God's eyes? Or do we have this blindness, this hypocrisy that causing us to see things unclearly? And so I believe this is one of the perspectives that I like to pick up on today, is how can we see clearly? Maybe the gospel will bring us to a kairos moment, a moment of reckoning, a turning point in our lives. Just as Dara said that, you know, Joan was searching for some answers and questions, and when she had that God moment with a person who talked about 3 hours about faith and God, I found that's quite incredible and has to be a God moment. And maybe all of us, from time to time, we need a God moment, that kairos, that turning point to turn us around and to see things clearly, to help us to understand better what is going on around us today, and maybe even inside us. Maybe God is speaking us today for each one of us out of this passage. I don't know what the passage speaks to you. I don't know what John was going to share with you. But as I look at this passage this morning, these are a few things that I quickly picked out on that how God spoke to me. So dear brothers and sisters, I pray that you will have that kairos moment, that God speak to you. You will have that moment that you have that blindness or that misty thing that clear from our eyes, and that we can see what God wants us to see. We can see the truth that is coming through the gospel given to us, that we're reminded about what baptism is all about, what is our commitment to Jesus, and ultimately it is the dependence on God that brings us through. Not religiosity, not the stuff that we may do and practice, but rather holding on the gospel truth, that what God wants us to know and to understand. So may you have a kairos moment today and every other day when God speaks to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.